pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
From the greatest minds from around the world, this is Nerds That Know. Stash here, along with my lovely cohort of nerds and our very own dwarf, who lives and resides permanently in caves.
This hey, cave isn't black this time.
At least he can call us his minions.
It's true. It's true. I actually wrote out the word cohort, so I made sure and used it. You're
wow.
Welcome.
Took you that whole time to just spell out cohort to make sure
no,
that you used it.
I was writing other things as well. I was editorializing on Willy's Wonderland and etc.
Did you stay up all night coming up with that word, cohorts?
No, not at all.
Yeah, he uses that word a lot.
A nice
word, cohort.
A nice way to reference our collective nerddom. And cohort is what came to mind.
You have one of those calendars that feature word of the day, don't you? And cohort
actually,
happens to be.
My calendar features Charlie Chaplin's screenshots, and there's a cop grabbing his ass on the one right now. So please properly respect my calendars. After all, my mother buys them for me still.
Right.
That's her thing. She buys us a calendar every year for Christmas.
I know. We've talked about it. It's okay.
I'm just glad that this year's calendar is actually something you enjoy.
That's true.
Previously, she has not always done that.
That is definitely the case. There have definitely been calendars. I'm like, this is a mom gift. Otherwise, it'd be in the garbage.
Didn't you have a really cool Alice in Wonderland one?
I did. That was last year.
That
was
that
last year.
Last year. That was the year before last.
Yeah, last year was Walking
was
Dead.
Last year. The year before last was the stupid Walking Dead one. That was probably the worst one mom ever got me.
Not a fan of the Walking Dead?
No, I hate that show. It's like I gave it a try. I made it through like the first season, maybe first season and a half, and I was like, why?
You should go watch when Negan kills everybody because that'd entertain you, I bet.
It probably would. That sounds it's like just the wholesale destruction of a whole bunch of like not great actors.
Yeah, that when that season was airing, there were a bunch of memes featuring it's Glenn, right? Like his face all smashed in with his eyeball sticking out.
Oh shit.
And I'm a sensitive little baby, so I couldn't go on Facebook for a few weeks.
Scarred you, did it?
It really did. I already have enough anxiety relating to gratuitous bodily harm. Hi, Fox here. I'm a little neurotic.
Actually, the image in the comic book is so much worse than the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
The visual, I will never get the visual of the comic out of my mind as much.
It's impressive, though.
It is impressive, but oh my God, it's like, it's pretty bad.
It reminds me of the blob eating the wasp.
Yeah. Forgot about that. I was going to go with Joker and the Crowbar, but.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's pretty gnarly, too.
That one's pretty gnarly, I gotta say. That one's ruthless. Absolutely ruthless. Smurf here, who evidently lives in a cave, fucker.
It's not my fault you moved
only
to a cave.
Only sometimes do you live in a cave. Apparently, that's just where you go to hang out when you don't want to spend time with us.
I have been busy. I've had projects going on. I have signed an NDA. All I can say is I am filming.
So all I'm hearing are things that you're trying to argue against, like maybe
no,
you
no
were
argue.
In a cave, but you refuse to admit it.
There was no cave.
You can neither confirm nor deny that you were in a cave. Now, can you?
What am I, Schrodinger's fucking Smurf? What the hell?
No.
Actually, you're
Smurf, really.
Smurf is in a metaphorical cave, a cave
yes.
of non-disclosure.
Yes, that is it. It is the cave of silence.
Oh, I was thinking
it used to be a cave of nerd glory.
It is quite the cave. The empty boxes. Some of them are full. Construction going on. It's a four alarm fixture going on right now, but the shelves will be done soon and all the lighting is in place. So I'm really, really excited where it's at right now.
Awesome.
Yep. But you have to have the proper lighting and shelving and all that to display statues properly. And as you can see, there's quite a few. There's a death statue right over my shoulder right there. That's pretty impressive. I like that one. Anyway. Yeah.
Was that a hint? Are you part of the new Sandman series?
You know, I'm all excited about the new Sandman series. I'm totally signed on. I'm curious to see what they do because I know Lucifer has got some stuff going on, and they're talking about bringing in Lucifer and Morpheus and Death and all of that together. So I'm very excited to see if that actually comes to fruition.
Yeah,
we shall see. And they're excited about having an episode 666.
Yes, of course. Yes, that's just too delicious to ignore.
I mean,
to resist.
It's a show about the devil. They have to, right?
I think it's only fair. It only makes sense.
I'm pretty sure that's the only reason they actually agreed to having a season six.
Tom Ellis really loves that role. I don't know why he's not coming back after season six. He hasn't said why.
Once you hit episode 666, what else is there?
That is kind of the zenith for the career of the devil, I suppose.
Well, do you want to introduce yourself? Or
no, I'm cool.
Okay. I'm taking. You want me to introduce you?
Slightly better lit cave, also filled with nerd stuff over there.
Your man, stuff I was really within your cave is in a smaller sub cave.
Yes.
Are we about to have Battle of the Caves?
No, we're no, about to he, join he, caves and we're going to
attack people. Like Caveception. There's a cave within a cave within a cave.
I mean,
and that's what's happening over there.
Yeah.
Down in the wilds of Colorado Springs.
Oh, yes.
Well, Colorado Springs is already a very specific type of cave.
It is a very different kind of cave. One I'm still getting used to after roughly 10 years at this point.
A repressed cave at that.
Yeah, well, it's what you get for being from Denver and moving down there.
100% true.
I blame your wife.
So do I.
Bobby here, Tank's wife's sister.
That is certainly one way to introduce yourself.
Well, I figure like if I'm blaming her for shit, I should might as well, you know, take custody of, you know, her batshit craziness.
That's
my
true.
Lovely cat ears were gifted to me for my birthday from my niece, Tank's oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Can I get a close up on this? Very nice.
So she picked them out herself. She's 5 and already understands that purple is the best color in the world.
What's funny is that's not her favorite color. It's maybe like 5th for her.
I know. She tells me this all the time. But she recognizes that I love purple, and so she still gets me purple things.
Well, she is a considerate child, if a monster of one.
Yeah, you know, and she does have that problem of like, you know, she hit me. Well, did you deserve it? Yeah. because she doesn't take shit off of anybody, this child. Tank has raised his girls watching WWE.
Mostly superheroes.
And MMA. And lots of DC and Marvel. And his oldest does like to go, if you piss her off, Hulk will smash. And she will smash you hard.
Yes.
So
she will say sorry afterwards. She's considered like that.
Well, that's
I'm
nice.
Sorry that you made me hit you.
Why are you hitting
and
yourself?
That's another
why
reason why I have no kids.
And why she's currently homeschooled. You know, they said it was because of COVID, but really they just wanted to work on the, we don't hit people.
We had to train her on her socialization.
No, unless they deserve it. Then, you know, it's okay.
Well, that's the problem, is because she only hits people who do deserve it.
See? But she's probably going to be a teacher. So let's leave.
Yeah, I could completely also see her telling a teacher to fuck off or to stop being an asshole.
She did tell it to the random stranger talking to her at the grocery store. So
yes. She also has told someone at the grocery store, you're an asshole. Put on your mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I support that.
If you have a child that tells people to pull their mask up over their nose, you've done well.
You have.
She also called someone an asshole for baby talking her. So
she doesn't like baby talk.
She does not like it at all.
She's a big girl. She can use words. Are you okay? I can talk. Can you? She's fantastic. But I digress.
Let's move on.
And on that bombshell, what else shall we talk about today?
We have
what's on the agenda? Okay.
We're talking about children, so let's go into WandaVision because, you know, she has the twins.
Well,
and there's been a shit ton of crazy.
Does she now?
Yeah. Does she have twins?
I don't want to go too much into spoilers, but fuck me, this was an intense episode. A lot of shit happened.
Well, and last week too. Like, I mean, they that episode 6 was basically putting all the false flags in place to blow up in your face for episode 7. So. It was interesting.
Yeah, I'm really surprised how I turned around on this show. Like, I'm genuinely enjoying the ride, and those first 10 minutes where they just toy with the perceptions of, like, a single era of television are very pleasurable.
Oh, you mean the psychotic break that she was having?
Yes, the repeated psychotic break.
Yes. Yeah,
the onslaught of psychotic breaks. Yes. So it does raise the question. So Tank and I both had points for being correct. He was right about Agatha. I was right about Captain Marvel. But who's the bigger bad? Because it's not Agatha, and it's not Mephisto.
I still think it could be Mephisto. They showed the book in her basement. That book ties directly into Marvel's versions of the Eldritch Gods, which would include Mephisto.
Or is it Despair?
I don't think so.
The color schemes and everything going on and the focus that they've kind of dove on for like the last couple of episodes about her disparaging over the loss of her brother, loss of vision, the emotion with the kids, and that despair feeds directly off of those emotions. And when you look at the color schemes and everything, because I would think Mephisto would be more red or you know, fire, brimstone, you know, that kind of shit.
I think those colors were for her, not for who she's working for.
Maybe. I'm thinking so. Is
she really working for him, though?
I don't think so, actually. No. I am now thinking that she's not intentionally working for anyone besides herself.
Yeah. And I think that it's all subconscious on her part. I mean, at least I think that she was being truthful when she said, I don't know how this happened. I just know that now that I'm here, I don't want to let it go.
Maybe. I don't know.
I also think another character is still hiding, obviously beyond the big bad. I think we have another witch hiding amongst the members of the Westview community. I think we have a third witch there.
It's possible.
And there are a lot of speculations as to who that might be.
I have one very big one. And it was someone that Agatha happened to point the finger at early on.
Yes, then that is the biggest speculation as to who that might be.
Yes.
Just want to do a quick shout out. Emily, Saka, and Dan are all with us on Facebook live stream right now. So hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Please
drop comments and let us know if you have any thoughts on WandaVision or anything else that we'll be discussing as the night progresses.
Because I honestly thought when Captain Marvel, when Rambo was going to the hill, she was getting strange. I honestly thought when she's like, yeah, I made a call. I got somebody showing up. I'm like, oh, fuck. We're getting Doctor Strange. I honestly thought.
We might.
We get a rover. We get a fucking moon rover.
We might get a parent.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of, she says, I'm calling an engineer friend, blah, blah. There are a couple of those, that, you know, in the Marvel Universe.
I'm starting to think that it's not someone that we have been suspecting. I think this is the false flag. I think they are putting a lot of people in that place of like, oh, it could be Reed Richards. It could be Hank McCoy. It could be, you know, I think we're getting the Skrull friend. I think that's the engineer here.
Josca?
No, the daughter. The one she made friends with in the Captain Marvel movie.
Right.
Yes.
That would make sense. Just real quick, jumping back to the Captain Marvel movie, have you guys looked at any of the pictures that they've done of the little girl who's the actress's name, I can't remember, from the Captain Marvel movie, next to our current Rambo?
Oh, right? Yeah, perfect casting.
Like, oh my God, the casting is just, even the way like the eyes crinkle during the smile, it's just, it was very, very well done.
Now, I'm talking about your despair thing. I think that was the set off point. I don't think that that's going to be how everything plays out. I think that was the set off point because they basically at this point have told us this event took place with Vision after Endgame. And then she seemed to be okay with what happened, not entirely, but she seemed to be stable. And then she found out what was happening with Vision, and that's what set everything off.
Yeah, she snapped.
Yeah. And then I think she was followed into or given information about what was happening with Vision by Agatha. And now she's using that breakdown to develop her own power.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Agatha's, character disposition is all about perpetuating what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
She is intentionally avoiding change or any drastic alteration to the simulation.
Until now.
Means that she is getting something from the current process. And I think it is just her own way of growing her own abilities. I did a little research into her earlier today, and I by no means an expert, but is it still canon that she taught the Scarlet Witch how to control her powers?
No. That's kind of fallen out. There's a couple different people that technically taught her her powers, but it mostly was her just losing control of her powers and figuring it out.
Oh, okay. Trial and error.
Yeah.
Because I saw that and I was like, that's interesting if that's the case, because she could have been a failing witch. She could have reached the limits of her ability in one way or another and saw this incredible powerhouse of a student that she could manipulate easily,
mm-hmm,
and therefore gain some level of control over her.
I think that's what ended up happening. Mm-hmm. Not the student part, but I think you're right in she saw what was happening and she made
she
sure
just
that
jumped
it,
on it.
She could take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think the third person that I'm talking about that I'm not going to say also followed Scarlet Witch in and she got trapped in the simulation.
Yeah, that would make sense. And thanks for joining us.
She does not have control yet, but she, I think, is scratching at the edges and something's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wait and see. I can't believe, that this is almost over.
Yeah, two more.
Yep.
And some crazy stuff is still going to come out of here because I'm fairly certain that that book is one of the missing books from the Sanctum.
Yes.
And that is going to have a large role in why we're going to have the multiverse of madness happening in the future.
I didn't notice, does it have any of the same symbols from the books at the Sanctum? I didn't know.
I don't think they've really focused on the symbolism too much on it. We just, Tank and I just recognize the book from the comics.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a previous knowledge thing of,
yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that that book is one of two books, and it's not supposed to be in her possession.
No, and there's I'm sure there's an interesting story of how the fuck she got it.
Well, I mean,
unless somebody... when Wang was away during the war or something.
I think
the
it's blank. When Doctor Strange disappeared.
Yes.
During the blank.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know if Wang was around. We just know that he was there at the end. So we don't even know if he was around.
We don't know who all blinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we have no idea what magicians were in existence or what sorcerers were still around after the thing happens, after the snap. So we don't know where she got a hold of it, but I'm sure some point during that, just like what happened with Caecilius, he was left unattended and he did some damage, and she did the same thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we'll see.
Just a random side note caveat, speaking of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse, I am incredibly excited that they've announced Danny Elfman is doing the score for the soundtrack for that. I feel like that's a really good fit, and we'll have some amazing music come out of it.
I think he needs to just get as far away from Tim Burton as possible, and I think this is absolutely perfect. This is amazing. I cannot wait to hear what he scores.
Anything but bum, 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 bum.
Working with Raimi is good.
I believe that he has more skill than that, Fox, but we'll wait and see. We'll hold judgment.
Hopefully it doesn't sound like Batman, because that would just
that'd be weird.
Yeah,
one passing note before we move on. What did you guys think of the bonus interaction?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And I think everything they did, I think kind of goes into what I've been saying, that everything is very, very purposeful. Even the small, slow movements, the escalations are all very purposeful, and all the little foreshadowing things. You know, with the kids this episode, the little foreshadowing aspects were brilliant to set up the big reveal. Like, that was amazing how they did that.
Dude, the Christmas or the Halloween costumes from freaking Young Avengers. I'm just like eating the shit up. I'm like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing. So,
okay, and Wiccan's observation. Well, he's not Wiccan yet. Sorry.
No, not yet, but he's absolutely Wiccan, though. I mean,
his observation of what made Agatha different than everybody else was awesome. And I love how that played out.
And I think we'll see him further down the road. I don't know about his brother, but that's Wiccan for sure.
We probably will see. I think he's going to be Speed, because
I think so too.
I think the big surprise at the end of the mid-credits scene, I think it is just a furthering of the diversion that he is not who we think he is. And that they're going to have a speedster, and it's going to be Speed.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the stunt cast of the character.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us as well. Honestly, weird thing to kind of run away with on this, but what my biggest favorite thing that's come out of all of the WandaVision, with all of the changes to the canon and the twists and turns and the fact that we've seen the darker MCU, is I'm really loving getting to see Darcy more, and like, just, she's so fun. I want to have drinks with her. I do. I want to go out drinking with this woman. And I think it would be awesome.
She's the crazy aunt. No wonder you want to hang out with her.
Me too.
I can't wait to see
which way drinking my wine out of a fishbowl.
I can't wait to see which go away they go with Monica. They have three options, and they hinted at two of them very heavily. And I don't know which one they're going with.
I don't know either. They may do her as Photon, which she evolves into after being Captain Marvel in the 80s. So, and they kind of...
We're getting a Spectrum, though. The way they played with the lights.
What I read today said it was pushing towards Spectrum.
That's what I was thinking. Because they really, they made a show out of her separating into her multiple identities, essentially. And then
that's the one that came out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the costume she's in right now looks exactly like her Photon costume.
I think they're going to pay homage to it, but I wonder if they're going to jump over Photon straight into Spectrum.
It's possible.
Either way, I mean, either way they go with it, they're giving her at least some interesting.
Well, they can't make her Captain Marvel because they got Captain Marvel 2 coming.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
We'll wait and see what happens.
Especially because we also have a Miss Marvel already. Yes. So I don't think that Monica is going to be Captain Marvel unless there is a one-time necessity of her being Captain Marvel, but I don't think it's going to be a prolonged thing of any kind.
Unless that could be interesting.
Some kind of fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think that'd be the only time that she becomes Captain Marvel, just because they already have Captain Marvel and they already have Miss Marvel. So there's no point in adding the third Captain Marvel character into it.
Nope.
At least not yet. You know, we'll wait till the next phase of Marvel.
True. Mm-hmm. But I think this is leading into the horror aspects of the Marvel universe still. And I think they proved that with this last episode, that this is a horror movie broken into 9 parts. And they're just giving it this facade of a sitcom.
Absolutely, because Vision in Michael Gross's pants, if that's not a horror to you, nothing else is.
Yeah.
Hi, Morgana. Thanks for joining us tonight. We talked about this in depth while Smurf was in his cave, about how Marvel is really just going with a much darker side of things.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I'm really appreciating about WandaVision is they're not doing it like a movie broken into several parts the way like Lemony Snicket's was done.
Mm-hmm.
But they are doing it as one continuous storyline, which mm-hmm. not all sitcoms do.
Mm-hmm.
And it does flow continuously, and you do have to have watched the first episode for the current episode to make sense.
Oh, yeah. You very much
have
what happened before for it to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that the FBI guys got turned into clowns. I thought that was absolutely awesome.
That was such a cool little...
Freaking awesome!
Yeah.
All right. Well, now on for something related tangentially. What is the show Fox and you were going to discuss, Bobby? Bridgerton?
How is that at all tangentially related?
The TV series.
It's a TV show. It's in the same tangent.
Not even a little bit, dude.
Bridgerton might be more entertaining if they had some witches in it. I don't know.
I have no problem with being entertained by Bridgerton. Thank you very much.
It's pretty steamy.
Yeah. It's got like the library.
It's pretty steamy. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. If you threw Scarlet Witch in there, in her Scarlet Witch costume from the comics, even steamier. But it's well, pretty impressive so far.
One of the things that I very much appreciate about Bridgerton is Daphne ends up being the Duchess. And for those of you who only know me through Nerds That Know, you may not know that I go by Duchess. And
I thought it was a really fun show.
Wait, when he starts talking about, you know, all of the things he wants to do to his Duchess, it makes me happy.
Oh, you got creepy with it. That's what it is.
Yeah, you did. And you just talked right over Fox.
Well, I was still having a sex moment in my brain.
So the main guy is crazy fucking hot. He is crazy hot. And the show is very fun to watch for like the first 2/3. And then it gets into some dark shit. And don't get me wrong, I like dark shit, but it just wasn't fun to watch. Like, there are two people here who are completely not communicating, and I get it, they're Victorian, but like, it just...
Did you finish it though?
I did, and it's like, I get that the whole purpose is this sort of idea of like, you know, there's this, the effervescent butterfly feeling of new love, and then at some point the other shoe has to drop.
That's not at all.
it was just like frustrating to watch, and like not fun toward the end.
But the problem isn't that they stop loving each other; it's that he lied to her, and she feels betrayed.
And by today's standards, she did do something extremely non-consensual.
Yes, but okay, this gets all up into the conversation that we had before the show started of you can't expect someone in a completely different time frame to work by today's standards.
It's just weird to see it. It makes things really dark. And like, the other thing is that like, I don't actually think that Victorian women were that clueless about sex. Maybe for the upper echelons of society.
It also depends on, you know, which family you were brought up in. And if you read the books, it goes into that a lot, how some women do know and some women don't. And that was just the way her mother chose to raise her.
Yeah.
And it's not that all women know nothing. It's just that she didn't know. Which is why she went to her lady's maid, you know, in the show. And in the book, she goes to actually the housekeeper. You know, it's a conversation she has with the housekeeper. And like, because the lower, you know, classes, they have to know where the babies come from.
Yeah. Well,
because they're catching.
because the lower classes aren't supposed to have that many children. Whereas the upper classes, like especially a duchess, you're supposed to have an heir and a spare.
An heir and a spare.
I think I'm going to rename the equipment in my car from now on. Heir and a spare.
One really fun thing that I did learn from reading Stephen Fry's book, Victorian Secrets. I guess I listened to it on audiobook. Don't at me. But he talked about how Victorians actually were a lot more sexually liberated than we give them credit for. And there was a common belief that ugly children were born because their parents had terrible sex, and that beautiful children came from good sex, where the woman came.
I mean, if that's the case, then I'm damn good. Because it's shit.
And of course, this is coming out of the mind of Stephen Fry. Why does that not surprise me?
Again, the whole point of Bridgerton isn't the non-consensual, you know, there's so much more to it than that, in my opinion. But they have started filming season two. It is an 8-book series. And then there are two other sub-series that are spin-offs for other families that are introduced to you within the Bridgerton stories.
Also, are they going to do all 8?
That is what Netflix has said. Wow. That they're going to tell the stories of all 8 of the Bridgerton children. They started with Daphne, who's actually the 4th child. And now they're going, which is the first book, because marrying off the oldest daughter is the most important thing. And now they're going back to the oldest son. And that is the book, The Viscount and I. The Viscount Who Loved Me.
If I may just interject.
Tim has just joined us. So hi, Tim. Thanks for watching.
If I may interject, Bobby, one final thought is just that I was so disappointed that the second brother wasn't gay. Like, it felt like they were like setting that up, and I was like, fuck yeah, a gay person on the show. And yeah, like there's this like tangential character who is in fact gay, but like I was like feeling vibes. I was like, these dudes are gonna be gay together, and then they weren't, and I was disappointed. Sorry, spoilers.
I'm sorry, that's unfortunate. But
thank you, that means so much to me.
I mean, but let's be fair, the Victorian era had a very specific look at homosexuality, and it was not great. It's like, mm-hmm. if they would have to be very careful approaching that subject matter in a way that did not alienate modern audiences.
Which or the I think family.
And which is a wise choice to not necessarily include it, because if they had to do it properly, they would do it in a very terrible way. Let's put it that way. It would be
so much more interesting if they did address these struggles of gay Victorian men.
But that character isn't even in the books.
I mean, I guess I got that. Womp womp.
Well, speaking of non-consensual touching, how did you guys feel about that Mortal Kombat trailer?
Oh, that was beautiful.
Work of art.
The crazy, over-the-top mania that was that trailer is perfect for that series.
You know, I don't even think I need to see the movie. I saw everything I needed to see. I was so happy and impressed. Jimmy Olsen is playing Jax, gets his arms absolutely brutalized. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sub-Zero, so freaking good.
Sub-Zero is a straight up monster in this, apparently.
Yeah, he is.
The casting in this looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and then I'm surprised at the cast so far.
Like, Raiden shows up. So good.
I was blown away. My partner sent it to me about 2 hours after it came out, and I was just shocked at how good it was. And like, what more could you want? It feels like the Mortal Kombat movies in my memory, not like they actually are.
It feels like what you always wanted Mortal Kombat to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the effects budget must have been huge, because what we saw just alone in the trailers, I can imagine what we're going to see for like fatalities, more like choreography for the fights. I'm ready for more. I'm looking more forward to this now than I am versus Kong and Godzilla.
And was very high on your list previously.
Yes. That was at the top.
The CGI budget for just the Scorpion versus Sub-Zero fight is probably ridiculous. Just for that fight. Because
absolutely.
The code for that fight is crazy.
But see, it's like the perfect balance of fan service, Easter eggs, and like bringing people into the loop. We even heard the "get over here." That was just absolutely. I'm like, if that's what you put in a trailer, that's a gold star right there. Absolutely.
The big news coming out of it: where is Johnny Cage?
Yeah,
I have a feeling they're holding him back. I don't think we're going to see him yet.
Who is this new character that they've introduced? Who is he supposed to be? Because he's all the main ones we have. They showed Reptile. They showed Kung Lao. They showed Liu Kang. They showed all the ones that we know. So who is this new guy supposed to be? Because his name isn't really part of
the lore,
the known lore.
Canon fodder. Maybe he's a god.
Yeah, I think he's probably a god.
I mean, he could be. Who is it that can change form, shape change?
Shang Tsung?
Yes.
They showed Shang Tsung.
They showed him, but maybe he. I don't know, because I'm like, why would they throw this no guy in for like canon fodder unless he's a shapeshifter or a god?
Well, and based on his birthmark, he seems to be connected to the Shaolin monks.
Was the guy with the razor hat? Wasn't he part of that brood as well?
Kung Lao. They also showed Kung Lao.
Did they? Yeah. Well, never mind. I got nothing.
That's why it's confusing, because they're indicating that he might be connected to the Shaolin monks. But if he is, I have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
So interestingly, we actually put up a post on our Facebook page of the 95 character image versus the 2021 character image, and the fans on our page that have responded are all pro 95 and anti 2021 cast.
Oh, I'm sorry, they're wrong.
I mean, I mean, the only one they may be right on is Christopher Lambert as Raiden. I mean, you can't beat the Highlander as an immortal god of lightning.
Yeah, until you got to the second movie and he looked like a tool bag.
Well, they recasted him.
Some of the comments are, so far the only one I like is who they have to play Scorpion.
Fair enough.
And the new one looks like it's going to be perfect material to snark and mock at.
Really? You guys think it's going to be a dumpster fire, huh?
All right.
What the fans on our page are saying.
All I can say is I am way more excited about this than most video game movies I've ever seen.
And to be fair,
quite a few video game movies last week or last show.
And most of them suck.
Yeah, to be fair, they haven't made a successful one with the exception of Pokemon and Sonic. We get that.
Resident Evil 1.
No. No.
That was okay.
It was good. I will give him okay. That movie was good.
It wasn't crap.
It wasn't crap, but it wasn't great.
The original Mario Brothers.
No.
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 Who was I talking to? Oh, yes. Okay. This is actually relevant. So we were talking about video game movies at my birthday party, because this is what you do when you're having a lovely game night. And there was a discussion about the fact that Nintendo, after Mario Brothers, the movie came out, a bunch of D-list porn movies came out. With the Mario Brothers theme. And so Nintendo bought the rights to all of these super shitty Mario Brothers porn films.
So
just Nintendo, to keep them off the shelves.
Nintendo has a porn stash?
Yes.
Sweet.
Has a Mario Brothers porn collection.
Oof, that seems... Given the low grade of a large percentage of pornography that exists, why not just release it and make some money?
Yeah.
Who says they're not? There's probably some backdoor dealings.
Well, yeah, apparently.
If it's low grade porn, you better be going backdoor to make it enter.
Oh my god.
This was a discussion at game night for my birthday. That the Mario Brothers spin-off porn series is owned by Nintendo because they bought the rights to those films.
Good on them.
To prevent people from selling them. Yeah. Oh, Jacob has recently joined us. Hi, Jacob. Thanks for watching. Everyone, please comment. Give us your thoughts. We'd love to get your input on anything that we're saying, or if there's something that we're not covering. You can tell us either on this chat, to send us a message on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Twitter. We're on all of the social medias. Or you can also send us a message via email. We're at nerdsthatknow@gmail.com. We try to keep it all nice and simple. Nerds That Know is our handle on all of the things. So, anything else on Mortal Kombat?
Personally, no. I'm excited for it, and I can't believe the trailer came out of nowhere the way it did.
That was perfect.
It worked.
It actually somehow took away from WandaVision, which is crazy that it actually came away from that.
Actually, the other trailer that landed that was like a complete sucker punch was the Invincible second trailer that landed promoting for the March 26th release. Yeah. Oh my god.
That looks amazing. It's going to be on Amazon, right? That's the people who are doing it. That looks like it's
really cool story.
Straight to Amazon, total skeet material, because this that trailer was badass. Cause we get a kind of like a humble pie kind of like family story, and then it just goes to brutal. And it is, I cannot wait to see this. So there's another trailer that just slipped in under the radar. I think it was like on Friday. It was on, where did I see it? I think it was like an IMDb exclusive or something like that. It was like one of those weird offshoot sites that just all of a sudden had this trailer. So we posted it and shared it later.
Yeah, we'll make sure to get that trailer posted up on the page so everybody can take a look.
Yep, I think it's already done. Yeah, it's already up.
Hopefully your thoughts are somewhat more positive than they were towards the Mortal Kombat movie, because everyone on the team who is familiar with Mortal Kombat is excited about seeing this movie. And the fans on our page so far are saying, eh.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
I really think that's a lot of nostalgia talking.
I agree. As a person who rewatched those movies not long ago, I agree. The end of the second one, man, why does turning into a dragon and a monkey sound like a good idea?
Well, turning into a dragon for one of them.
Dragons always sounds like a good idea. I mean, like,
those special effects.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe not there, but like, even Madame Mim turns into a dragon at one point.
I'm sorry, but I will even say that the Legacy, is that what it was called? Mortal Kombat Legacy miniseries was better than the movies, the original two.
Actually, Stephen Dorff as the blood god in Blade was way more convincing than the dragon that we saw in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. But so bad.
They were doing.
All right. Letitia has just joined us, and she says, being born in 79 and growing up with the comics and the games, I have to say it's going to be hard for me to believe that the new movie will be better than the originals, but she will wait and see.
Have you seen Legacy? That was better than the originals. And it was like an hour long total.
I own it, but I never actually got around to watching
it. It's a pretty, it kind of,
it's like, still wrapped in plastic.
It literally is.
Well, if you watch it, you'll actually see that the people who did this one took a little bit from it. They play up little pieces of Legacy. You can kind of see hidden throughout the trailer.
This is a lot of, there's a lot of fan service in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait to see. So
yeah, I'm excited. But speaking of incredibly brutal murders and kills, let's talk about Willy's Wonderland.
Okay.
Willy's Wonderland is a treat and a festival for all that just want 2 hours to release and not have any frustrations.
It's not 2 hours,
at the end.
It's like barely an hour and a half.
Yeah, it is barely an hour and a half. It really was.
It's so good. Why is it so good?
It's just hitting at the right time. It really is. It is the perfect release. You don't have to do anything illegal. You just got to sit there and just detach and enjoy the fuck out of it, because it's absolutely hilarious. It's great. It's absolutely
Nicolas
great.
Nicolas Cage crushes a girl's face with his thighs.
Yes.
It's so funny.
So out there. And you know so what I think good. Really sold this for me even more? Because not long ago, I watched the history of curse words on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So all I kept saying was Nicolas Cage with that awful hairpiece in a suit, sitting by fireside, telling us this tales of fornicating kings and bullshit pigs and bitches and all the fun words that came out of his mouth. And all I could see during this movie was him doing that. So I think that even added to it. This movie is absolutely great.
Yeah, it works. It absolutely works because, like, he literally plays a silent protagonist. I can't think of another movie that plays a silent protagonist quite this way.
Nope.
And I don't want to go too much into like details on it.
No spoilers. Yeah, you can't give it away.
It is.
Now, I have seen things that are comparing it to like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yes, it's pretty much the same concept.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
But apparently this is slightly different. There's, big gas fires, and Nicolas Cage's character doesn't even have a name. He's just the janitor.
You know what? It worked for Clint Eastwood. Why can't it work for Nicolas Cage?
Hey, I'm not trash talking it. I'm just telling you what I have what I have learned about this movie that Stash is so excited about. It is available on I think one or two streaming services, Vudu for sure.
And it's like Plex theaters. I saw it at the Alamo, and I gotta say, it is the way to watch this movie. Like, agreed. It's so funny.
You think the Alamo is the way to watch every movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's so brutal. And honestly, the movie theater was pretty much sold out. Like, as sold out as it can be in COVID times.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Honestly. So, like, every third seat was full.
And yeah, so currently the box office, it's looking at a little over 200,000, which considering it just released 10 days ago.
And I'm assuming it's not a nationwide 2,400.
It's not. Screen. It does say that it's in limited theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
And the budget for this film was $5 million.
Oof. That's rough.
Nick helped produce it.
That makes sense.
That poor bastard.
Who was the production company on it?
Let's see.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to buy this movie when it comes out.
Yeah, it will be added to the Nicolas Cage collection.
I really like who Nicolas Cage is becoming in his old age.
Yes.
Because it's like all the effort and all the fucks he used to give, he's just like, I don't give him anymore.
He doesn't.
Wait, it's perfect. When did Nicolas Cage give a fuck?
Dude, have you ever seen 8mm? He acted
that was a great film.
Ass off in that movie.
Okay, acting well does not necessarily mean giving a fuck. There are times where he's just like, yes, this role, that's what I want to do. It doesn't mean he gives a fuck. Nicolas Cage got a point in his life, in his career, where he can just be like, I'm going to do whatever the motherfuck I want to do.
And that's always been his tendency.
That's what he did in this film. Good.
Stash is trying to say is that Nicolas Cage is embracing becoming a meme.
He didn't embrace that a decade ago?
I'm pretty sure he
did. Anybody else see Kick-Ass?
The bunny bet in the box.
I was just gonna say, did anybody else see Kick-Ass? That was glorious in its not give a shit acting.
But the one that he did care about, Wicker Man, which absolutely fucking bombed. You could tell he was totally committed to that character. He gave everything, and no, the script killed that film.
No, I'm saying maybe that's what killed his give a shit was.
Yeah, that could be the breaking point because he gave that everything he had, and it was just like, I'm gonna go back to the bunnies and fuck this shit.
Because I've seen all of his dollar bin movies, and they're amazing. And the idea that he makes some interesting acting choices that are always at least interesting. Like, I don't know how you got to where you got to there, but it made it entertaining.
I mean,
I'll always watch Raising Arizona and Con Air. Those two are fucking staples.
My younger sister's favorite movie.
Yes, it is. She loves that movie. Raising Arizona is a legitimate masterpiece, though. I'd defend that one till the end, because that was the way he is such a piece of crap in that movie, and it's amazing.
Hot topic, is Nicolas Cage a good actor or a bad actor?
Nicolas Cage.
Answer, he's a hairy actor.
He's good at being bad.
I wouldn't say he's bad, though. Like, it's...
Oh, he's absolutely a character. He's a character actor.
He is most over-the-top version of William Shatner.
Wow, you're comparing him to the Shat? Wow.
I'd say he's the current version. Like, except for he doesn't have the weird stilted speech pattern, but the overacting and the diving headfirst into making it bigger than it is, no matter what scene it is, that's full-on Shatner.
Is he going to release some kind of really crappy album that we all have to listen to?
No, he's not that.
He's done.
No, he abandoned that. He gave that up. I'm sure we will see him as Ghost Rider again. But I can never watch Face Off. Face Off is right out. Yeah.
I actually liked the first Ghost Rider movie because of him, to be honest.
No, the first Ghost Rider was great. The second one?
Yeah. Oh, that was a screenwriting issue, I think.
Yeah. You got Sam Elliott. You can't go wrong with Sam. The man is burly. All right? You can't go wrong with Sam Elliott. The man is just fucking burly.
I can agree with you there.
Yeah.
I would say that Nicolas
Cage's... That's a look Cage's, of longing there, Fox.
I'd say that Nicolas Cage's acting could be summed up as exquisite.
All right.
Sure. Yeah.
In the most classical sense of the word. I get what you're going for there.
He is so much the exquisite character actor. He puts everything that he is into every scene that he's in. And it's the craziest thing to watch because sometimes it's out of context and he does it anyway.
Tank, I am so curious to see what you think of this movie.
Well, I'll have to give it a watch because it sounds like I'm going to be entertained very much. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you definitely will be. I mean,
without a doubt.
Yeah, I can guarantee you how they sold this to Nicolas Cage was like, what is the most graphic thing you ever wanted to do? We can make that happen.
According to the article that I have read, because I did look it up after you talked to me about it, was the script, according to Nicolas Cage, the script hit his desk and he was all like, this is fucking hilarious. Okay, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, that sounds like Nicolas Cage.
But, that sounds like Nicolas Cage. I don't believe he has a desk. But nobody went to him and was like,
please do this movie. It was the script made it to his pile. Because, you know, at Nicolas Cage's point in his career, he has a pile of scripts that people are sending him.
I sincerely doubt desk. I assume pile of LSD is where they set the screenplay.
Oh, yeah. He's got a coffee. He's like Dennis Hopper. He's got a coffee table just full of scripts. And occasionally he picks one up and he goes, yeah, I'll do this. What the fuck? This is crazy. I'm in. And
yeah, basically.
Suddenly Christopher Walken sounds like Dennis Hopper. I don't know what happened there. But, you know, you get the idea.
So, yeah, but that's basically what happened.
You know, you just connected two thoughts right there for me, Smurf. Now what we need to have is Christopher Walken's character from Joe Dirt do the same thing.
Oh my god, that'd be perfect.
Stab you in the face with a soldering iron. I don't like how you're talking to my man.
All right. So, other fabulous things in movie news that have been happening. You know what? Let's actually go with something that is fabulous, and that is the Cruella images that we've been seeing.
Yes.
Let's do.
I mean, this is fabulous. Something Fox is the right has been word.
Incredibly happy about, and I'm sure have made it into the spank bank.
Listen, I don't have anything to follow that up, but
okay.
Just listen.
You want to tell me I'm wrong, but.
So after watching the trailer, my thoughts are just that, like, huh, it's interesting that Disney is going to keep doing these, like, gritty, from the villain's perspective thing. And then just, like, I'm not sure what that, like, accent or affect Amy Adams is doing. I'm not sure about that one. But Amy Adams is great. So, I mean, is it Amy Adams? Did I get the name wrong?
Playing Cruella is Emma Stone.
Yeah, it's Emma Stone.
Oh my god!
I was like, is Amy Adams?
I was like, I didn't see her. Was she?
I didn't see Amy.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe she's the wife.
That's what I had. That was my first thought. I was like, is she playing the wife?
Yeah, is that a sister?
No, because like Emma Stone is. What is the wife's name?
I think this is before the wife. This is before that, though.
Anita.
It seems to be, yeah. This seems to be.
But, like, origin. That's the only person I could think that Amy Adams would play would be Anita.
Mm.
No, this is Emma Stone. Story,
yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yes. And she plays such a good, just edgy character. I really.
Just
she's a great choice. She's a great
delicious.
Choice. Yes. absolutely delicious.
And to be honest, like, out of all the Disney remakes that they've done live action, the only one that I did not like at all. There's some that are iffy. There's some that are okay. The one that I did not like was Dumbo, and that's just because it creeped me out.
Dumbo was horrible.
One that I hated, absolutely hated, was Lion King.
Lion King is even worse.
No, what? Lion King was the same story. It was the same
story. He fucked it up so bad.
No, he didn't.
Yes, they did.
The one that's the worst is Aladdin.
All of the music.
Aladdin is the worst tank of all of them.
No. Lion King was the worst.
Hate Stiffy for Will Smith or what?
No, it has nothing to do with Will Smith. It was absolutely pointless and flat. There was no heart, emotion, or like any kind of caring involved in Aladdin.
You're wrong.
No, I'm absolutely right.
The Lion King is the worst.
No, it's not.
No, Aladdin's the worst. Aladdin's the worst.
I fell asleep watching Lion King in the theaters.
That's because it's the same story it was when you were five.
No, I liked it then. And first off, I'm older than you, motherfucker.
I'm sorry, 10. I don't know. Lion King's not the Dumbo was the worst. That one was atrocious.
Dumbo is pretty bad.
Dumbo is bad. Lion King is the worst.
No, Aladdin. I'm going with Aladdin's the worst.
Yeah. You're wrong.
Okay, which one was the best though? It was Jungle Book, right?
No, it was Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, jeez. Beauty and the Beast.
I like Jungle Book more.
No way.
Nah.
Well, which Jungle Bill
Murray
Book,
as Baloo was brilliant.
Yeah, see, you have to define which Jungle Book, because there's like three of them that came out.
The good one that Disney did when they made Bill Murray Baloo and Idris Elba as why can't I remember the Panther's name?
Shere Khan? Or
Deborah.
Nagira?
Nagira.
Nagira. Is that the one with Christopher Walken as King
Louie?
He
was Shere Khan. He was Shere Khan. You're right. Idris was Shere Khan. But
is that the one?
You fall in love with the wolf character, and to make you have such a deep connection at the beginning of that movie that you could legitimately feel how much she cared for Mowgli, that it was better than they present most mothers in most movies. Like, she did such an amazing job of just making you feel for that, all of them, for all the characters, even straight off the beginning. But I don't know, that was me.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point. I just think you're wrong.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast Sash cried when he saw Beauty and the Beast. So
I know what.
It's a beautiful story.
It is.
We'll put it out there. All right, everyone listening, whether it be the video right now or the podcast on all the platforms, let us know which is the worst Disney film. We all have our opinion.
No. Worst Disney remake, worst Disney film, opens it up to a lot.
Yeah, worst Disney film is a whole worst, different bucket.
Worst Disney live action. Live
remake, yeah.
There we go.
Also the best. Let's make
I don't care about the best, because it's Beauty and the Beast.
It is.
It is.
Holy shit, I agree with Smurf on something. I hate it.
Somebody call hell and check the temperature.
That's just because I was thinking of Watson's call.
Oh, you don't have to. I just got a bucket of ice from there. So the fact is,
that's the cave you were in.
Ta-da! The fact is, we're not going to decide this. We will let the fans decide this. Let us know what you think. We would appreciate some input, because obviously we're just going to end up in mud wrestling or jello or some shit like that. So nobody wants to see that.
Actually, that is something that you want to see. Let us know. I have an inflatable pool that I bought just for sloshing. So,
oh my God, Fox got extreme close up on that.
That got her super excited. Fox super excited. Wow.
But if my mom loves it at Piggy Play, I have an inflatable pool that I have just for sloshing. So, if you want to see mud wrestling, jello wrestling, any of
Fox looks like she's about to cry. Fox, are you going to cry?
Okay.
I just have so many ideas.
All right, moving on. What else
other
we got?
Things that are happening in this world. Johnny Depp is no longer unemployed.
Seemingly, no.
But he is still, pounding pavement and knocking on doors, trying to find work after all of the Amber Heard insanity that happened earlier this year, end of last year. But, and
But I don't know, because I've heard rumors that he's coming back for Pirates, that something got, like, sorted.
Rumors about it, but there's nothing been confirmed from Disney that I have heard.
Not yet.
Disney hasn't confirmed it, and neither has Johnny Depp.
Well, it could be they're trying to let it die down as much as possible before
let
they
it simmer. Because let's face it, he's carrying that franchise.
It might be James Gunn.
Oh, he is.
If he doesn't come back, that I mean, it's already a dead franchise. But if he's not coming back, nobody's going to go see this film.
We get it.
Yeah.
But
it might be just James Gunning. It'd be, I mean, it was a 2-year layoff for James Gunn, right?
Yeah, so, but he does have a new job as Joker.
Which is weird, because that means he's working for the same company as his alleged victim in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many. So you have Jared Leto. You have Whacking Phoenix.
Who has been the best Joker in for a while.
And now we're going to throw Johnny Depp into the mix.
Which sounds like we're going back to the Jack Nicholson version of Joker.
I think it's going to end up being like a very Jared Leto type situation, where it's like over the top, obnoxious, like just awful. I mean, I love Johnny Depp, but I think that him in this role is like...
He's going to be super campy.
Chaos.
Well, and I think he's going to be super campy. It's not going to just be chaos. Yeah. It's going to be over the top, like goofy, because that's what he does.
Well, no. Yeah. Because when I heard about this, I automatically thought of like Rear Window, when he's like the offbeat kind of weird serial killer in that film, and I kind of can see where they're going at, but can he shift the gear to go back that far?
And that's what I'm saying. Like
he hasn't had the skill to go back to that.
He hasn't been that in 15.
An excellent question. That's exactly right. So I mean, even like his Harry Potter was very reminiscent of Jack Sparrow and all of his other kind of flamboyant, flamboyant Tim Burton-ness. So,
but at this point, they keep, you know, they're bringing him up for Joker. Let's just dig up Cesar Romero and puppet his ass around town and do it that way.
Only if he still has the mustache.
Of course, only he has the mustache. He is never losing that mustache.
Because you have to have the mustache painted white. Yes. It's very important.
But that's fucking hell.
It's seemingly, if he's going to play the way that he's played the most recent 15 years worth of characters, that's what we're getting. We're getting that weird, goofy, over-the-top Joker.
I'm on that page.
Yeah, I'm not down for that. I'm just, no.
Now, if he goes the Rear Window direction, I'm in 100%, because that would be dark as shit to have him and this, what seems to be fully psychotic Riddler, you know, harassing Batman. That'd be amazing.
That'd be great. Yeah. If that's what we get.
He used to have this amazing skill and depth, and then he became Jack Sparrow.
Then he became Tim Burton.
Yeah,
that's what it is. He became Tim Burton's puppet, essentially. So all the weird intricacies that Tim Burton has, they are now made realized in Johnny Depp's actual personality and acting ability.
Just ingrained in him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so like the cast that we're looking at for this film, you know, we're looking at Robert Pattinson as Batman.
Which I'm actually starting to like a little bit now.
I saw the lighthouse.
I'm still not hating it. I'm still not loving it, but I'm less hating it. Then we'll have Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Awesome.
Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Awesome.
Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon.
Why not? Yeah, Jeffrey Wright. Makes sense.
John Turturro as Carmine Falcone.
You know, all you have to say is John Turturro, and that makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's just automatically gangster. All right.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Which is cool based on what they've done so far. And if they do it right and they don't, because he has a tendency to kind of go a little off script too, it seems like. But if they really play it the classic, not 66 classic version of Penguin, but
The Burgess Meredith penguin?
Not that far back, but like mid-80s, early 90s comic book penguin.
I was their number one son, and they treated me like number two.
Colin Farrell can do dark.
He can. And if they do it right, that looks like what is happening with this. That they're making.
They are planning on making this film incredibly dark.
Yeah, this looks like it's going to be a psychological serial killer movie with Batman as the detective, essentially.
Yeah, I really and that's like basically everything that I've seen on it is.
Which is awesome because that's a different version of Batman. It's not the, you know, Dark Knight Batman that we saw that was gritty and action filled. This looks like they're really tapping into the year one detective Batman.
Oh, I was going to say Long Halloween for sure.
Oh yeah, Long Halloween. Same, you know, that similar vein of where he is more of a detective than an action hero.
Yep.
Sean asks what we think about the Danny DeVito penguin.
I don't like Batman Returns, if I'm being honest. So there you go.
Come on. Danny DeVito was such an obvious choice for Penguin. It's classic.
He was.
And it's such a throwback.
He was an obvious choice, but it was so.
Well, the problem was, again, Tim Burton.
Yeah,
horror is not stripes. I don't care what you think or what you say. Horror is not, let's put some stripes on it. Now it's scary.
Well, no, and I figured it was going to be okay. You know, the 89 Batman was great. I don't like what they did in The Return. I don't like it. They went too far to the other side, and I was like, what is this? Why do I want to see this?
If I'm absolutely honest, I think the depiction that we got of Penguin from DeVito was perfect, but I would have liked to have seen like the Gotham version that with the Penguin, the fall from grace. I would have actually liked to have seen more of that and him bringing in like, you know, the clown gang. I would like to have seen him rise to power and actually have like the Iceberg Lounge. I think that would have been much more impactful, but it played well to the character.
Let's put it this way. I am not here to call out Danny DeVito as the issue. That wasn't the issue.
No, it was Tim Burton. Absolutely Tim Burton.
I would rather watch Batman Forever than Batman Returns. 100%.
Agreed.
And that's sad because Batman Forever was not great.
No.
But I don't know, Danny DeVito. Well, Danny DeVito is always awesome, but I think they're going in a
direction. He's always entertaining. He's not always awesome. There's a big difference.
He is usually a really entertaining character, no matter what he is.
That is true. I always wonder what I'm going to see when he's on screen, but that doesn't necessarily mean
it's going to be like.
I don't know how much he actually acts and how much of it is just, hey, I'm Danny
DeVito. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is just his personality. So
I think so.
I'm pretty sure we've gotten to see that a lot in, what is it, Always Sunny?
Yeah. Yeah,
but we've seen a lot of his personality. If that penguin shows up in this movie, I'm going to be very angry.
We'll wait and see. This is one that I'm actually looking forward to watching.
I want the Capone-like penguin who's just this criminal gangster mastermind that owns everything around him.
I'm honestly really curious as to how they're going to do this particular movie with all of these various villains, you know, because I've seen them try to do Batman with all of the villains at once before. I mean, a couple of times before, obviously, but not well.
Well, as Smurf says, it looks like they're leaning into the Long Halloween, which is very dependent. It's less of a Batman story. It's more of a rogues gallery of monsters story. And he's just stuck trying to figure out how to stop all of the crazy shit from happening that's going on around him.
Okay. Well,
which sounds like the Batman I want to see. If it's not Batman Beyond, anyways.
Yeah. Which, that'd be interesting.
I just want to see whether or not Robert Pattinson's bat suit has nipples.
It won't.
It won't.
It should.
No, they're going year one Batman, it seems like, which is very low.
It was underwear?
I don't think so. But it's a lot more of a low tech version of Batman.
Adam West Batman?
Not that low tech.
Yeah, no nipples, just very prominent balls.
Well, that's all Batman. I mean,
yeah.
We can thank Kevin Smith forever, you know,
Batman's the vinyl, the rubber, the Kevlar, whatever
it is. You want to rub up against it.
You know? But I feel like we either have, you know, big rubber nipples or Adam West. Those are our two extremes.
I feel like those are the same extreme.
No. Those are very
for its goofiness, extreme. Yeah. But Adam West had defended from the time that he did that. He was playing that character intentionally in that manner. He wanted it to be over the top. He wanted it to be weird and campy because he thought of it as a satire.
And it was fantastic. Like the some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
No.
You know?
That was a very satirical approach to Batman, and that was, I believe,
that was entirely intentional, and it was fantastic. And the Adam West Batman, you know, series will always be one of my all-time favorite things to watch. My nephew loves Adam West Batman.
Oh, who doesn't love Adam West Batman?
It's his favorite. He doesn't like any of the other Batmans.
Well, I would disagree with that, but
yeah.
He's six.
I know your nephew. I've met him a couple times.
But like that is his favorite. He's 6 years old and he likes, you know, he went as Robin, but he went like with the Robin with the underwear over his pants. You know?
Oh, he didn't go with Titans version of Batman that said fuck Batman, because that was a funny version of Robin too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a funny Well, while we're on the topic of the number of remakes that Batman has had, reboots that have been coming out, because holy hell, there are a fuck ton of them. They are talking about rebooting Criminal Minds less than a year after it's been off air.
Hi, welcome to Fox's Thirst Corner.
I will take
any excuse to thirst over Matthew Gray Gubler.
Is he involved? I don't think he is. I would agree if it was the original cast, but
this is something that Paramount Plus is talking about doing. And
the biggest draw of that show was the characters, right? I'm not wrong in like it was the interesting characters and how they all interplayed with each other.
Absolutely. Yes. And Shamar Moore was absolutely fabulous to watch.
And he had a weird, dark background that ended up coming to light and it made him more interesting.
Yeah, but the show is lasted for, I believe it was 15 seasons.
Is that right? God damn.
Yeah, 15 seasons, launched 2 spinoffs.
Both of which were toxic.
Yeah. The spinoffs did not last well, but the show has ended in 2020, and they're already talking about a reboot.
Why?
Because apparently CBS needs money.
They have a lot of money, and They're doing the same thing that they've done with every show that they have, and that is, let's remake the same exact thing with a different cast and see if it crashes and burns, which it usually does within a couple of seasons.
Yeah. I mean, which is what happened with when they tried to reboot Charmed, which was a complete and total disaster. They're now also, HBO is rebooting True Blood and is pissing off the original cast. The original cast has been speaking out, like going, first off, I'm going to have nothing to do with this reboot. Second, how the fuck dare you we put our heart and souls into, I think it's like 18 seasons or something into that crap.
There is not 18 seasons.
There's not 18 seasons. Maybe five.
I think it was
whatever. It felt really
five or six. Yeah, something like that. Is Alexander Skarsgård speaking out against it?
Let me go ahead and
pull. If Skarsgård is like voicing, there's some bad juju there.
Yeah, if Skarsgård's speaking out against it, then that's a bad idea.
You don't want
to cross. So there were seven seasons.
You don't want to cross Skarsgård.
You don't.
Have you seen?
Sean says Adam West was awesome. We all agree Adam West was awesome.
Yes.
yeah. So True Blood, they're completely rebooting that from the beginning, not using any of the original cast. Most people from the original cast that I've been following have all had negative things to say about it. Winx, which we covered very briefly a few weeks ago, that Stash and I had watched, is a live action reboot of a cartoon series. It has been, Netflix has signed it up for a second season. You know, the first season kind of ended on this like big moment. But that's also a reboot based off of a cartoon series.
They're doing Buffy again.
Yep, they're doing Buffy again. And man, the stuff that's been said about that.
Well, I that seems like it's going to be a hard sell because that had such a rabid fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that seems still like a hard sell.
Well, yeah, it's really funny. Sarah Michelle Gellar came out with something, says once in every generation, you know, the Slayer is born, blah blah, like whole big thing, exactly what the intro of the original Buffy was. And she's all like, so absolutely not will I be doing this again.
Well, and it makes sense. I mean, it still is. It's still ongoing, right? I mean, the comic series still exists.
Well, yeah. And if you think about the way the series ended, you know, I'm sorry, spoiler for anybody who has not seen the final, you know, season from 2003.
I was going to say that's 15 years ago when that ended or something like that.
But the final season basically activated all of the dormant slayers in the immediate vicinity to get all of the help that they needed, you know, in Buffy, the final season.
So are the initial reports on this that it's going to be a direct follow-up?
I think it's a reboot.
Yeah, it could just be a reboot, but it could be a follow-up. I don't know. There's not really a lot of information.
Okay.
But, you know, that was a 7-season show.
Well, I mean, it's
like still has a huge fan base.
Well, Hollywood is Hollywood, and there's no such thing as them not
an
selling
original an idea.
Yeah, there is never a final episode unless they just don't do it, which seemingly at this point, they're willing to basically reboot anything if they think they're going to make a buck on it.
I feel like we talk about this every few weeks. Like, that's just the era that we live in. It's just like, oh God, all these reboots.
Well, and some of them play out pretty well, but unfortunately, at this point, the vast majority of them last one or two seasons, and then they hit the dumpster pile. So
yeah, I mean, so far, like, all of the reboots that we've seen, the one that strikes me as the most odd is the Criminal Minds reboot.
Yeah, that's such a weird name.
Especially when they're talking about canceling NCIS New Orleans.
Well, NCIS does that every couple of years. They release a new one for 5 years and then it gets canceled.
Yeah, well, NCIS is still on.
Yeah, the original is still on.
Yeah, the original is still going. And NCIS is, you know, its own animal.
But, well, I don't know. We'll see. It's never going to stop. So I guess if we watch it, we watch it. If we don't, it dies a horrible death.
I mean, though, I'll probably watch the reboots when they happen.
I don't know if I'm going to watch the Criminal Minds reboot, to be honest about that.
Well, I'll watch at least the first season or the first couple of episodes.
Maybe
because I have seen that through to completion.
Only reason I even watched the first season was because of Mandy Patinkin.
Exactly.
Mandy Patinkin is amazing.
And he absolutely hates that show.
He is.
It's weird.
He does hate that show. He said
does.
That
it was, he's all like, it was so dark.
It was,
which is he funny, because then he went and did Dead Like Me.
He said he had to recover psychologically from that show because of how traumatic it was dealing with rape and, as he said, rape and murder goes to on a weekly basis.
Well, apparently Homeland is less personal.
And then he goes to Homeland.
But it's less personal if you think about it. Homeland is about, you know, like blowing up a city.
Well, and it's a different take on it. And even his character is very different. It's not about dealing with the daily atrocities of serial killers. It's dealing with the weird political culture of violence, essentially. I don't know. I don't see the, I don't put those two together.
Yeah. Anyway, what else we got?
Yeah.
So, Last Ronin, second book, came out.
Yes.
Woo-hoo! Last week.
And following along with the first book, giving us some interesting new ideas to deal with, and we get the new Casey Jones, which is really cool.
Yeah, that I saw that.
And it is officially the highest published IDW comic ever at 130,000 copies on the first run. And the second run is already in production.
Yep.
Which is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. And we do find out which turtle goes first.
Yep.
Which is interesting. Like I said, I think it was interesting, and it makes total sense that we find out who the last Ronin is in the first issue so that we can focus on who's left and how they left. And it's kind of, it's heartbreaking, but it's cool. It's actually a great story.
It is. It's a great continuation. It really picks up and gives you more context about why things are the way they are.
Well, I'm excited to read it when I get it. But
you will be getting it soon.
No, that wasn't like pressure saying getting
it soon. No, I'm saying you will be getting it soon. And I can't wait to get it to you because I think you're going to love it.
Get it in the mail, bitch!
Yeah. It is. It's good. It's a good read.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're following up darkness with more darkness, we had Wonder Woman, seemingly the last hero alive 100,000 years in the future.
This is DC Future State,
which basically makes DC a bunch of liars.
Yep. Hello Thanos.
Well, and it's darkness for the sake of darkness. Again, it's DC trend of let's make everyone horrible and deadly and dead, and
they just like watching us cry.
I think they like torturing their characters, it seems like. Because Flash has some fucked up stuff happen. The Teen Titans have fucked up stuff happen. So Batman again.
DC writers are all basically
masochists
who don't have the appropriate masochists in their life. So they have to take it out on their characters.
Oh, and they do a damn good job of it. And
that they do.
Wonder Woman, I won't say that it's a bad story, but the ending is basically like, well, fuck, all right, you know?
Yeah, I was not,
It's a weird...
Are you pooping?
Yeah, because it's bullshit.
It's a weird retcon / revelation of Wonder Woman as a character.
Yeah,
essentially, like the
not
way
happy.
The way that they
play, I don't know any Wonder Woman fan will be.
Oh, I wouldn't be. I mean, the way that they, I mean, unless you're like super gung ho about her being literally the most powerful thing in existence, minus two characters.
Who, pray tell, do you have as more powerful than the Wonder Woman?
Well, the one that makes her not the last living character and the other one that was there when it happened. So.
No spoilers.
I'm not giving away what happened. Pick it up if you want to see.
Oh, which reminds me, I have a stack of comic books to give back to you. I finished reading all of the ones that you've given me so far. I
got a whole new stack for you if you want them.
Sweet. I will trade with you when I come down.
Sounds good. But, I mean, and, you know, comics this week, it's a lot of endings and weird beginnings. For the most part.
Yeah.
And
there may be some delays.
Probably again, yes. I would guess so at this point. But, you know.
With shipping and dealers and all that jazz?
Frozen weather.
Frozen weather delayed a lot of stuff. It delayed my shipments, honestly, too. So, we'll see. But, you know, the big happenings, King in Black. Iron Man's took an interesting turn. Flash is a weird and devastating turn, but we'll see how that plays out in the continuation of the series, I guess.
When it goes back to normal, I don't even know.
That's the weird thing.
I don't even know.
This future state thing seems maybe so ill-advised at this point now. Like, even more so than it did before, it didn't seem like a good idea to begin with. But then we got some interesting characters. And then they immediately fucked those characters up. And it's weird.
Yep. Because now we've got like the new Batman Future State with Lucius Fox's family, which is coming out this week. And there's just some really weird shit going on. So I proceed cautiously.
Yeah. If you have a character that you really follow, give it a shot. Green Lantern's not too bad, but that's because Green Lantern's kind of a across all timelines character because they can really play with it. So, I don't know. Weirdly enough, this week I actually say I would stick to Marvel because they have some interesting stuff happening.
Well, and one of the fabulous things with Marvel that Tank and I were talking about this weekend is the fact that Marvel comic books, TV shows, and cinematic universe are all now falling under one big umbrella, one leadership. And so we're going to see things more cohesive.
I'm hoping that's what ends up happening.
And that we may even see where it's important for you to, you know, read the comic to know what's happening on the TV show to then follow up with the movie. And they may do that to, you know, help with their sales and whatnot.
Well, and it's also this
to make the storylines, you know, cover more.
At this point, I'm wondering when they make Donny Cates the editor-in-chief at Marvel. Because he's writing half of their main stories right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I believe that is everything that we have on the agenda for the evening. Does anyone else have any beautiful little tidbits that they would like to share with our fans, viewers, followers, and such?
Tank, I just wanted to say or ask you, what did you think of Space Sweepers?
Oh, yeah, that was a interesting story. Like, it's it is weird. And I watched it. I watched it where it had the subtitles on it, and their English interpretations were fucking hilarious. I will say that. And that was really fun. It's a cool story. It's very...
It's so anime. I love that. So
anime.
Yeah. Yes. And there's so flawed of a character, but the way they come through in the end and the whole story is absolutely brilliantly woven. I really love that story.
The bow on the end is really cool.
Yes.
That is really cool how they end that story. It's worth a watch. If you have Netflix, watch it. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's heartwarming in places. It's devastating in others. But at the end, you do end up saying, like, damn, that was actually worth watching.
There's a great payoff. There's an excellent payoff to that movie.
There definitely is. I appreciated it a lot, and I hope it represents a new direction that Netflix is going to be going. Because they've been really pushing their foreign films lately, And hopefully we get more of like this quality and not more of the kind of shovelware we've been getting.
I would say they need to work on their subtitles, but besides that, yes.
I don't know, but I think it worked well because you've got all of these different like cultures working together, and I don't think they skimped on anything in the budget because the special effects are great. The robot that they've got on the ship is fucking amazing. Oh my god. I wanted more of the robot. I was like, just give me more of that fucker. Because
it was incredibly engaging. The only thing that ever took me out was literally I followed along with the subtitles and I was like, what the fuck? That's not what Jay just said. What's going on?
Oh, see, I turned it on default language. And left the subtitles on. And that was probably a much more easy way to absorb it.
That's probably the better way to go.
I think it would be. I didn't purposely turn it on. It just came on automatically. And I was like, oh, whatever. Fine, I'll leave it. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. But what the hell is up with the dialogue?
Yeah, because those Russians, let me tell you, I don't think that's what they were saying. But all right, I'll go with
No, that's definite. But based on the English sub and the English dub, that's not what they were saying.
I always like it when the sub and the dub don't match.
Oh, not even close.
I find that hilarious.
There was like when I was watching Korean Odyssey, which is another one of my favorites. A few like words are kind of like off. You're like, no, I don't think that's what they're saying. But all right, fine.
But either way, it is a good watch.
It's a great watch.
It's worth a couple hours of your time for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's all I had.
Catch up on your. You know, if you're a big fan of the CW, the Berlantiverse, Batwoman is on week 3, I think. Black Lightning's on week 5, I want to say. And we get our Superman and Lois back from the Crisis.
Actually, I'm going to tell you, save your time and don't watch Batwoman. Absolutely. Just, it's a dumpster fire. It really is.
Did you watch this season yet?
Yes. Yes.
It's weird how they did that.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It is absolutely horrible.
I don't want to say it's horrible. It's just they had to make a hard left turn and they did it in the weirdest way possible.
I mean, Black Lightning, I can kind of see where it's going because they did say this is the last season for it. And
they're rolling Painkiller out into his own series.
Yeah, which is nonsense, but.
Oh no, I love Painkiller.
No, it's. Another like translucent character that we really don't need anything on, but it's fine.
But Superman and Lois starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, like Tuesday or Wednesday. It's like a 2-hour premiere too.
Yeah, it might be tomorrow. I think you're right. I think it's tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's wait and see what happens with that. And we'll cover it next time you see us. Mm-hmm. So follow Nerds That Know on all forms of social media. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us a line on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or email. We are Nerds That Know on all of those platforms. Just choose to put the @ at the appropriate place. For email, it's @gmail. And we look forward to talking to you every Monday night. We will be live streaming on Facebook Live. And Twitch and YouTube live stream.
Absolutely. Every week. So if you have questions you want us or things you want us to cover, send us a message throughout the week. We'll bring it up. And until then, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.
Bye, everyone. Okay. And here.